can say, yes, it does. And it does. And so, but, you know, as Christians, when we came out of the water, and I'm preaching no new commandment, and this is just straightforward, basic. We know as Christians, we cannot act any other kind of way. When we come up out of that water, when we understand who we are, what we represent, we should.
Okay, I should turn this on.
The purpose of this is happiness without turning it on. You tell me. We know that we cannot act any old kind of way. As a matter of fact, in the book of Philippians 2 and 5, the Bible tells us to let, which means allow, this mind to be in you, which was also who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. So we are to emulate Christ Jesus. And when we are baptized, there is a whole process of putting on. Well, first of all, we have to take off and we have to put on. What are we taking off? We're taking off that old man. See, when we're baptized, we're renewed. We're a new man now. But we know we're baptized. We come up out of that water. The old man is hanging on our neck, gasping for air. And sometimes, not everybody, but some people bring that old man out and put him away for later use. You all know what I mean. And you all know where I'm going, because sometimes when we get upset, we would say, oh, if you had known, don't let me bring out my from the South Side. Don't let me bring out Southside Tony, because you wouldn't like him. Oh, he was a... And then we talk about the old man with admiration. Now, Paul talked about his old man, and he said, I count it as refuge. I count it as dung. So he looked at his past, and he counted as refuge, as dung. Sometimes, when it's time to whip out that old man and put him on, it's a comfortable feeling sometimes. Like this jacket. This jacket is old, and ladies, you know, us guys, sometimes we don't get rid of stuff. Why? It's comfortable. It took us a long time to break in those shoes. They're old, they're comfortable, they conform to our feet. So we know sometimes, and I'll get to this later, that we should put them away and put on something new, but there's the comfort value. What are we to put away? But now, according to Colossians 3, 8, 9, it says, but now you must put away what? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. This goes right to what Kyle preached on last Sunday. Mm-hmm. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Mm-hmm. Have we done that? Intellectually, intuitively, we know as Christians, there's a certain way I ought to act and present myself as a child of light. It ain't easy. But we must do it. So what must we put on? Later on, in Colossians 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, what? Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Do we have these attributes in our life? Do we cultivate these attributes in our life? If not, how do we do this? It's one thing for me to say I need to take off that old, get rid of my old shoes, and when I bring out the old man, I need to discard him and put him away for life, for eternity, and not reach back and grab him when it's convenient, when I want to change my whole persona and let you know exactly how I feel when I go back and I put on a Southside Tony outfit, and then I just let it spew and I just let it talk and so forth. Oh, you done made me mad, and so now I have to go back to the old man. No. But how do you do this? It's very easy for me to say, we ought to be holy, we ought to be compassionate, kind, have humility, we need to show meekness, we need to show patience. But how do we do that? Well, I got five approaches, and you know what? There's probably 27, but five is a nice and concise number that, you know, people can remember. And first of all, I want to say this. Nobody matures without effort. Mm-hmm. It takes effort. You ever had something that you really wanted? Something that's worth something? You have to work in it. Mm-hmm. And the more you want it, the more work you put in. Mm-hmm. I always use the old adage of, you know, I need a driver's license. I needed a driver's license, so, and guys and ladies, but guys, and a preacher told me, he says, well, you know, and we were young, and it was about 10 of us, 8 or 10 of us in church, when we came up in the church together, and our preacher, he was not a subtle person. And he said, you know, you guys, you have aspirations of getting married. So I wouldn't, if I was a girl, I wouldn't talk to anyone of y'all. Y'all have a car yet. And so, you know, what you gonna do? Go a date on the bus? Nobody wanna talk. And so I remember that just feeling, oh, I need to get my license. I was kind of late getting my license, but you know, when you did, what did you do? Who's on the road? Memorized it, studied it. Why? Because you wanted that license. Put the effort in. I want to get this promotion. So you talk to your supervisor, what do I need to do? Well, you need to master this, this, this. And so what do? You put in the time, you put in the effort, you put in the study, and so why? Because you wanted that very badly. And so what do? You put in the effort and the time. God is not going to come down from heaven and slap up beside the head and say, well, you can't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. Nor will he. He wants us to grow as Christians. He wants that to be motivated from within. He wants us to make the effort, and he wants us to do it because we want to, not because, oh, I got to do it, because we want to do it. So number one, we need to take control. Now, this may sound opposite, because as Christians, we give up control, but understand what I'm saying. No control. We had no control on who our parents were, right? What era we were born in, what color skin we were born in. We have no control over that. But you know what? When I look back in my life, and I look at the ups and downs, and I look at some of the bad decisions, you know who I blame? Moi. Me. Mm-hmm. I am to blame. I need to take charge of my life in order for me to get into Christ. A lot of people are not taking charge of their life, and they've been governed by every whim and imagination that comes to their mind. Now, you need to, what does the Bible say? Bring all that, all the things, all those evil imaginations under the control. And I do that with my mind, so I can turn myself over to the Lord. If I always see myself as a victim, or am I waiting for something, some type of a sign to act? That is a sign of imperfection. That's a sign of immaturity. I don't want to do that. There's some things that I have to make decisions, I have to take control, and I have to do. If I need a job, I always use this. I always use this example. You all, because I use this example because it's so, everybody can understand this. If I need a job, I got to go do what? I got to go look for one. Mm-hmm. Do I pray? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. If I'm ill, if I got an issue or something, I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. So if I need to get a job, I need to put in the effort. I need to get my references and all this stuff. But I am also going to pray. I am not going to wait for a special anointing or wait for a sign or look at my phone and wait for somebody to call me and say, hey, I got a job for you. Now, sometimes that happens. But that is the exception. The rule is I have to put in work. And so I need to take control. In Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our effort, and yes, I turn my life over to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
First, I have to take control. Second, I have to take responsibility.
Amen.
I have to take responsibility. You are responsible for what you do.
Amen.
You are an adult. I ain't talking about little kids. Unfortunately, little kids are born into very hellish situations. As an adult, you're responsible for what you want to do. And I look in the Bible, and I always use these two examples of what, the greatest sign of repentance. The greatest example of repentance, of course, is Solomon. And if you want to look at that, look at Psalms 51. You can read that on your own, because he said in that verse or in that line of scripture, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Did he blame Bathsheba? He didn't say, well, Uriah shouldn't have been drunk those 2 days, and he should have, and all of this would have been settled. But and you know how people do. Everything is somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
My mama didn't hug me when I was. And so now I got
mm-hmm.
emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
People do have chemical defense. I am a advocate of counseling, Christian counseling. Because guess what? This world is against what God teaches. Surprise, surprise. And so this kernel, this little kernel of milk I'm giving you now, as soon as you step out the doors, that's Satan. The world is going to slap it out. Slap it out your hand. So sip it up. So it is understandable that, yes, things happen, but I have to take responsibility. You're responsible for what you do. As I say in Solomon, the other person is the prodigal son. You know what the prodigal son said when he came to his father? Father, I have sinned against heaven. Praise the Lord. You see where he went first? He acknowledged the fact I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's humility. That is true repentance. He didn't go and says, hey, I'm still your son. I ran out of money, so I'm here to get a refill. Leave me alone. Don't argue with me. Don't talk to me. I'm still your son, so let's just forget what I did. No, he didn't do that. He acknowledged, he took responsibility. We talk about the prodigal son, and says, oh, what a terrible thing. But you know what? There's a lot of things to admire about the prodigal son. When he said he came to himself and he realized everything that he truly needed,
mm-hmm.
he thought was in the world, but where was it? Back at home. Back at home. And he didn't boastfully go back home and says, okay, this is what you're going to do for me. No, what did he do? In tattered rags, as humble, he was willing to go back as a servant. And what did his father do? He gave. There's a whole other sermon than that. It's a beautiful story. But we have to take responsibility. People who do that, they don't alibi, they don't blame others. As I said, it's easy to say, difficult to do. A responsible person, like if you're married, you have kids, husband or wives, you don't look at that as burdens. They're joys, they're obligations that we have to fulfill. Anybody who's married knows that's work. It takes work. I need to be responsible. I am responsible for me. No longer can I just go and stay out. I was a boring person, so I never did that. Pretend I was a stayed out. But by the way, I have an obligation to call. I need to take responsibility. If I have kids, I need to take responsibility. They're not going to. We have to look at our children, although, as I said always, that last nerve, they'll step on it, they'll twist it, they'll cut it. They'll do all kinds of stuff on that last nerve, but we're stewards.
Mm-hmm.
They're blessings. And we need to train them up in the way that they should go. That's responsibility. So I need to take blame somebody else. Mm-hmm. Within me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make it sound good. Except in the ears of the Lord. I need to take responsibility. A mature person does not see our obligations as burdens. We don't see them as burdens, things that we need to do. We do see them as obligations, but we also see them as blessings. According to Romans 14, 10 and 3, it says, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we all will stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue will confess to the Lord.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God."
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame anybody else. When that day comes, it is me and God.
Mm-hmm.
Taking full responsibility of the things I've done in my body, that's what I'm going to have to give account to. What I've done. I will, if you don't take responsibility now, well, you will take responsibility in the last day. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide neither to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. When we understand what it means to be a child of God, really, do you have time to, and when it says pass judgment, what he's saying is, well, you don't go to hell, you don't go to hell, but you ain't no good. There's so much we have to work on ourselves. Turn on the TV and I can pass judgment all day, but have I grown in the grace of knowledge of the Lord? Have I put on spiritual attributes?
Mm-hmm.
Have I studied today? Have I prayed today? Have I let my light so shine before the world? Because it's so easy to point at somebody else,
mm-hmm.
pass judgment, and take the focus off of me.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person that's going to look away is other people. God knows our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
He knows our hearts. He knows our intent. Number three, I need to contain my emotions. Everybody needs to contain their emotions. They're emotional creatures. Sometimes we need to contain them. We can't ignore them, but we need to contain them. The old man lashes out at something at the job. We get mad at the boss. We get mad at the coworkers. Because, see, the world teaches a squeaky wheel always gets the oil, right? You know, you're squeaky. In other words, the loudest person that complains and all that, oh, you're going to get your stuff listened to.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that with some coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
Always complaining. And to pacify them, a lot of times, supervision will adhere to their, you know, all this. But see, it's a child. We don't act that way. We don't do that. We treat people the way we want to be treated. If I have a hard day, and I noticed this when I was, when my kids were younger. And fathers, understand this. When you have a hard day at work, and you come home and you lash out at the kids, their whole demeanor changes. Now they fight with one another. Now, I did go to school for a moment, so I learned this. You come home with a positive attitude, they'll have a positive attitude. They feed off of that. And so if I come with negative, and they notice that, it's like I just took my negativity and just sprinkled it on them. And so I noticed that if I, despite what's going back at the job, because, you know, that's a test at the job. If God sent devil's minions there because you said you were bored. So, okay, I'm going to challenge your boredom. I want you to deal with this and this and this. But when you bring that home, you don't bring those emotions in and contain them, they have a tendency to affect those around you. We are emotional beings, but the new man does not let go of the steering wheel. It's like, you know, life and emotions, it's like driving down the road, and you know, if you got good wheel alignment, and you know this, sometimes, and you don't do this, you can let go of the wheel, and the car just which is spiritual maturity. We're on the narrow road that leads to life, but sometimes life will throw something in front of us and try to veer us off course, but we got to same thing with attitude. Same thing with our mind. And that's the sign of the new person. We put that in. We put that to practice. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Barry's favorite word, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I always say the worst thing that Christians face now is somebody's trying to kill us. And second, if not even more powerful than that, Barry always says, get self-control. You don't have to cuss every time somebody jumps in front of you. You don't have to bring out that old man and put him or her on because you mad. Well, this is how I am. No, that's how you choose to be.
That's right.
That's a choice. Love is a choice. How you act is a choice. It ain't easy. Because, like I said, some people will try to take you there, but you don't have to go along with the ride. You don't. You don't have to jump on that car where they want to take you. You can step off, you can step off on the guidelines, on the sidelines, and you can walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I need to. You don't need to. You want to. You want to.
Right.
Proverbs 24:25-28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. All kinds of stuff coming in. Mess it up. Need to have self-control. Number four, have perspective. Has perspective. A new man puts disappointments into perspective. Guess what? We're going to have disappointments in our lives. And we're going to have arguments sometimes. You know, some folks ruin long, long good friendships or relationships over one misunderstanding. Instead of just putting everything in perspective. That's why the Bible says sometimes, why don't you take wrong? But I ain't wrong. God knows you're not. But when he says take wrong, in order to save the relationship, now, you don't take wrong if it goes against your morals. But like I said, intuitively, intellectually, we know that. But see, pride gets in the way. I gotta win this argument. No, you don't. Why don't you preserve the relationship? That's more important. So having perspective, am I going to die if I give in at this point? Absolutely not.
Why
in here? It reminds me of a movie. The new movie, Count of Monte Cristo. It's a great, great movie. Man's best friend lied to him and put him away for, I want to say, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the 20 years, he meets somebody. And you know, it's just like an old Kung Fu movie. The guy's a swordsman, so the guy teaches him a swordsmanship. Becomes an expert. He had a long time when you're in prison. 20-some years.
Yeah.
We know this story. He was able to escape because the guy that was teaching him died and he kind of switched bodies and so forth. And so he was bent on revenge. I'm going to get that person that put me in here because the person that put me in here is no good. And he's evil and everything. Long story short, he finally catches up with this person. And he has the ultimate sword fight because this guy's good too. But I got 20 years with the master. So he bests this guy. And so as he was about to put the killing blow, the object of his affection and his son, who he thought he wasn't his son, so he looked at them and he put things in perspective. All those years pent up and everything came to the head. I got this person out. So he didn't kill him, he told him let go. The guy rides away. But you know what? He couldn't let it go. I can't let this guy in. No. I go, he gets the lady, he gets the son, he gets the money. But hold up, you have your wife. Oh no. That's not right. So he gallops back, proceeds to engage him once again in swordsmanship, and he dies. And I'm thinking, Sometimes people will not let stuff go for nothing. They'll just, oh, I can't. You won't. You won't. And it becomes like a cancer that eats at you. Oh, I have to feel it. I gotta. Oh, I no, no. If I don't do this, this just ain't right. It's the principle. It's the principle of the thing. No, that's the old man. The new man just lets it go. Let me tell you, that's a sign of strength right there. That's a sign of maturity. That's not a sign of weakness. You know how much strength it is when you know you're right. And when you know you stand in the way of truth, but you put things in perspective, I want to save this relationship when I want to win this argument. So I'm going to let it go and continue and work and preserve the relationship. So you put things in perspective, like as disappointments. Disappointments happen throughout your life. They don't end at the age of 21. They just get worse. With some of the things we have, James 1, 2 and 1, or 2 and 4 says, count it all joy, brethren. When you meet trials of various kinds, well, you know that the testing of your faith, look at situations like this, brothers and sisters, this is a testing of my faith, produces what? Steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Look at this as opportunity to grow and be strengthened as a child of God. Lastly, achieving deep understanding. Me and Robert are having a conversation, and we've talked about this before. A lot of times, in order to, when a person sees you, they'll have a lot of respect for you because they hear you listening to them. What do I mean by that? You ask questions. You try to get their perspective. Although their perspective might be wrong. Instead of lashing out, says, oh, that's right, you're going to go straight to hell. But they gave them like that. No, they don't respect. So, and when we use this formula, how did you come to this room? How did you come to that? Or what do you mean by that? Number one, what do you mean by that? Let them explain. Because what I hear, I had a cousin over. You read Muscle on the Shuffle. So we had dialogue, and we had some good dialogue. When we talked about it, the thing about it is we need to talk, and it was a great conversation. So we asked the question, "Well, how did you come to that, or what do you mean by that?" They'll explain it. Second question: how did you come to that conclusion? Now, this is where, if they're open, have you ever considered? See. What do you mean by that? They open up and they tell you. They give you their perspective. How do you come to that conclusion? Once again, you're getting more perspective. They are listening to you, listening to them. And so now they're open. Have you ever considered? Have you ever considered this chapter? Have you considered this? Have you ever considered reading this? Or here's some more information. Have you ever considered this? And so now, well, what are you doing? You're achieving a greater intimacy, a greater understanding. That person now has a greater understanding of you too. So achieving a deep understanding, instead of flying off at the handle and says, well, you're going to go straight to hell. Don't believe him like that. No. You're not winning the soul. You're not letting your light shine that way. In conclusion, when we put on the new man, Colossians 3, 12, 14 says, put on then as God, chosen one. This is what we need to do. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. And as I read this, don't think of weakness. Think of strength.
Amen.
In this world, and what we're going through nowadays, it takes a lot of strength to do this.
Yes.
It takes a lot of character. Meekness. Patience, bearing with one another. You ain't the only one that got the answer.
That's right.
And sometimes, and it's hard for me to realize this, I can be wrong. I know, that's amazing to you all too. But I tell any husband out there, you thought you all all that in a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm.
You get married. What happens is now you have someone else with their perspective looking at you. You thought you were all that. You thought, well, there's a problem with me or this or that. And they bring a greater perspective, and now you see yourself in a whole different light.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it that way because nobody told you.
Because mm-hmm.
you're operating in your own land of I am all of that. And so, well, no, you do. Well, the way you said that, the way you did this, I thought that was always good. That's not. That's not. That's why the Bible says, or that's why statistics say, married men live longer because there's somebody there to talk sense into them. put it on the chosen one, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, here we go. What do? You forgive them.
Yes.
Forgiving each other as Lord has forgiven you. If it's difficult to do that, look at what the Lord did for you. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He did not have to die on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have to forgive you. So you also must forgive. Above all, this. What is this whole series? Love conquers hate. Above all these, put on what?
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Which binds everything together
in perfect harmony.
Mm-hmm. That's the choice. I choose to love.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to be a child of God. I choose to emulate that mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a choice. It's all a choice. It's a choice for me, therefore, to take control. I need to take responsibility. I need to contain my emotions. I need to have perspective. I need to just get a better understanding, achieve a deeper understanding with the people, not as quick as judgment. All of that I can do in Christ, and Christ gives me the tools, and he gives me the help in order to do that. But I have to be in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Tony, haven't you been in Christ? That is one of the most wonderful questions you can ask. When you hear something, you hear a lot of stuff. I was convicted, as you were, by what you heard. You hear it in the gospel. It comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. So it was a choice for me to believe it or not to believe it. I chose to believe it, but at a higher level. Now, what are you going to do with that belief? When the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, no man can come to the Father but by me. What are you going to do with that? You cast it aside, say, well, that's a nice saying. Or do you truly listen to it? So I believe. And then, here he is where pride gets in the way. You need to put it aside. I need to repent. I need to put pride aside. And I need to walk in the way of the Lord. Because the Lord says, except I repent, I am going to perish. According to Luke 13:3. Confess his name that he is Christ, and as the Bible teaches, I'm putting the water grave of baptism. And in the water grave of baptism, when I rise and walk in the newness of life, I put on the new man. I get rid of the old man. Oh, he's coughing. Almost drowned, not dead. But I'm constantly on a daily basis putting him away. What does that mean? I live faithful unto life. Faithful unto death, I should say. Then I'm going to get that crown of life that fades not away. If you're here today, and if you want that crown that fades not away, you need to be baptized. If you're here today, and you want the prayers of the church, you can come forward as